is Thanksgiving Eve. But we're here because we're dedicated Eagles fans. That's how it works on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. We're here because we care. You know, it's the Thanksgiving Day holiday. Actually, you know, this isn't my regular job. I have another job. I got to leave work early today for an hour early, so to start the holiday season. Because it is tomorrow. Now, whenever you're listening to this, let me preface this. So if you're watching us on YouTube Live, Twitch, or Facebook Live right now, then you know that it is Wednesday and tomorrow is Thanksgiving. But if you're listening to us on the podcast, that's when we pre-record it. We usually do these on Wednesday for the game preview. And then we post it. It'll be posted tomorrow on Thanksgiving for everyone to listen to while you're enjoying the triple header of football action out there. But if you're getting us on a podcast service and you're probably listening to us on Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, Castro, Podcaster, any others that I might have missed, we're on everything. So we're glad that you're here with us for another week and to preview the upcoming game on Sunday with the New York Giants. Now, if you have any questions, you want to make any comments or anything like that, you can email us at lee.bird. That's byrd.eaglesdare@gmail.com. And we always are happy to take your suggestions or comments, whatever you got, because we're here for us as Eagles fans, but we're also here for fellow Eagle fans to discuss this. So tomorrow being Thanksgiving, before we get into the Giants preview, I thought we would just say maybe a game or a memory that we have of the Eagles over the years that we were thankful for. And I think one of the ones that my very first Eagles game I'm thankful for, I think I was 9 years old, and my uncle took me to a preseason game in like 1980, and it was the Atlanta Falcons with like Billy White Shoes Johnson. So I'm going way back. I'm dating myself here. Ron Jaworski was the quarterback of the Eagles at the time. Wilbert Montgomery. So it was one of those things, being a young boy growing up in Detroit, I wasn't really a Lions fan. In fact, people warned me, even as a little kid, don't become a Lions fan. And I want to thank them for that. Because all those people who said, don't become a Lions fan, you have my love and respect. And if you're a Lions fan, I really feel for it. I grew up in Detroit, so I know how much of a laughing stock they were. And still, it's just the management of the team. And God love their fans. They're still loyal, and they love them. But my uncle was living out in New Jersey, and he was an Eagles fan, so he always brought me Eagles gear. And my first live football I ever saw was a preseason game. I didn't even realize at the time it was a preseason game. And I'm such a nerd. Even back then, I had the notebook, and I was writing down like every play until I realized that I couldn't keep up with it. So by halftime, that notebook was done. But I remember sitting there writing down what happened, because I was so excited to see it. And then the love affair of the Eagles just kept on till today. So for me, that's probably one of the things I'm thankful is just becoming an Eagles fan through that experience. What is one of the memories you have, Miff?
Yeah, man. One of my favorite memories, man. I mean, you know, I'm from Camden, New Jersey, so right across the bridge, right across the Ben Franklin or Walt Whitman, you know, from Philadelphia. So, you know, we bleed green in that area, most of us. But the Thanksgiving games, because it's Thanksgiving theme, I'm going to stick with the theme. And I've always wanted to go to a Thanksgiving game, you know. I damn sure never wanted to go to Cowboy Stadium. But if I could somehow see the Eagles on Thanksgiving, you know, it was just always like a big deal to me, just watching football on Thanksgiving. But, man, imagine being there. Imagine being there at those games that you know everybody around the world is getting around watching. And the game we went to, man, that Thanksgiving game that you and I went to, I know Megatron, and we lost bad.
Yeah.
And Chip Kelly and started Mark Sanchez that game. And we had Murray as the running back who couldn't get anything going. But, you know, Megatron got to – I remember just walking down the stadium. We had really good tickets to that game.
Yeah, we did.
And walking down pretty low and seeing Megatron warm up. And I was like, wow, man, it's like the biggest receiver I've ever seen. Man, this dude was just uncoverable. And he proved me right throughout that game, as he scored three touchdowns on us in that game. Yeah. And I was like, I remember seeing his gold cleats, the bottom of his gold cleats just going up in the air every time, man.
Oh, man.
But I was really thankful to be there, man. You know, with a good friend, just really thankful to be there. Thankful that my wife didn't kill me for sneaking off to the game. you know, just because it was such a bucket list thing for me. It was really a bucket list thing. So, you know, so yeah, man, that was what I was thankful for. You know, even in the loss, you know, I could easily, you know, say that, you know, Super Bowl, I'm thankful for the Super Bowl, finally. Nah, man, just that Thanksgiving, you know, Big Sean did a halftime concert. Yep, it was cool, man. It was a dope environment, real chill environment. Yeah, man.
That was my first
time.
And I grew up in Detroit, and that was my first Thanksgiving Day game. And I remember I was walking in, we were so hopeful. We were so hyped, but it was the end of the Chip Kelly era. That was like the exiting off the tracks. Everything was going off the rails at that point. So we just dealt with it, and it was still, like you said, it was still a good time. We didn't care. So it's good. Thanksgiving's going to be a lot of fun. I know both of us have families coming in, and the big thing that we got after all of this, because we've got the triple header of games, which are fun, but we're still going to be looking towards Sunday, and that is this matchup that we've got coming up against the New York Football Giants, a division rival that I can remember, you know, in the early 90s when I was, you know, in my like late teens, early 20s, and how much I hated the Giants more than I hated the Cowboys at that point, because the Cowboys in the late 80s weren't really a threat. They were a really bad team at that point before the Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith got there. So the team that I hated was those Giants, man. Phil Simms, Lawrence Taylor, Meggett, Bavaro, I couldn't stand any of them. And so anytime the Eagles beat those guys, it was a pleasure. So this one, you know, going into this game, we have a better record than they are by a couple of games. But, you know, it's still there. After they got throttled on Monday night by the Tampa Bay Bucks and Brady, it's kind of going into this game, it's kind of like we're on a high and they're kind of coming down on a low. So we don't really know what we're going to get. It's definitely, it's still rivalry, still there. And it's something you have to be cognizant of. And you've got to understand that this could very well be one of those games where anybody can win on any given Sunday. But on the surface, it looks like something that the Eagles should be able to handle. So let's take a look real quick at the stat leaders going into this game. Right now, we've got our number one passer, our QB1, Jalen Hurts, is averaging 209 yards a game. He's got 13 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. But then we have to follow that up with he's also the leading rusher for the team, averaging 56 yards a game, and he's got 8 touchdowns there. So over 20 touchdowns on the year for Jalen Hurts. He's a one-man wrecking crew right now, and that's great. Our number one receiver is Devontae Smith at 60 yards a game, and you know that he can go anywhere up to the 120, 150 mark on a good day, especially against a weak defense. And he's got 4 TDs on the year. And he should have had a few more that have been called back. So he's definitely, for his rookie season, he's shining. On the Giants side of the ball, Daniel Jones, struggling a little bit as their passer. He's averaging 222 a game, and then he's got 9 touchdowns and 7 picks. Picks seem to be bothering him this year, and if you listen to the Giants fans rumbling, they're not too happy about the way Jones is playing. Their leading rusher right now is Devontae Booker, averaging 36 yards a game, which is abysmal. 2 touchdowns in the season. They just got Saquon Barkley back, but he only had 6 carries against the Bucks. So you got to see that's going to increase against the Eagles. I don't see Booker being the bell cow back against the Birds, but we'll see. And their number one receiver is also their flashy rookie, the Kadarius Toney. 43 yards a game, but no touchdowns on the season. But if you watched any of the Bucks game, he's got the ability to break one. Just like Devontae Smith, he's got that talent that you know could cut loose at any moment. So he's definitely somebody you got to watch out for. Now, as far as their breakdown of the overall statistics, right now the Eagles are 8th in the league in points per game at 27 points, which is, right now, they've been on a roll the last few games, scoring a ton of points, and have been moving steadily up in that direction. Giants right now are 25th in the league at 18.9. Points allowed per game, they're kind of even in this one. The Eagles allow 23.6, 20th in the league, and the Giants 24.6, 24th. But you have to kind of go back and look at the Eagles' last 4 games where their defense has played a lot better than that 20th in the league is showing. Yards per game, the Eagles giving up, or actually yards per game is what they're getting total. It's 364 for the Eagles, 18th in the league, and then the Giants, 338, that's 23rd in the league. Passing yards per game, Giants, you know, again, Jalen Hurts if he's not passing a lot, we're happy. So our average passing yards a game is 210, 31st in the league, and the Giants 245, 19th in the league. That stat doesn't bother me so much because, again, we've got a quarterback that can throw and run, and I'd rather his priority not be continually throwing because that's not our game right now. Then you get into our game. This is the big one right now. Rushing yards per game. The Giants averaging 92 for 25th in the league, and the Eagles 153 yards a game, and they're second in the league right now in rushing. You got to love that, especially since we're talking about a team that the first 6-7 weeks of the season were barely rushing the ball. Barely rushing the ball. And now you look at what they've done over the last four games. Time of possession, the Eagles are 11th, which, again, I'm shocked at that because you know that I've drumbeat winning time of possession, and they've been winning it these last 4 weeks, which is a big difference. They're 11th in the league right now, and the Giants 28th in the league in time of possession. Third down efficiency, Eagles 4th in the league at third down efficiency, and the Giants 24th. Sacks, a little bit even. Giants have 20, Eagles have 18 for 27 and 22, respectively. Eagles need to step up in the sack department. They do need to start blitzing more like Gannon has been doing the last couple of games. We'll see how that goes. And then interceptions, pretty close there. Giants 10 for 10th in the league, and the Eagles 8 for 13th in the league as far as interceptions. Looking at their recent games, we know what the Eagles have been doing. Won 3 out of the last 4. Should have won the Chargers game. That was a game that the Chargers kicked a last-second field goal to win when the Eagles really could have commanded that, but we won't go back down that road. On the other side of the ball, the Giants have been up and down. If you look at their last 5 games, they get blown out by the Rams 38-11, but then they beat Carolina 25-3, better than we beat Carolina. They lose to the Chiefs at Kansas City, but only by 3. And then they beat the Raiders, who we lost to, 23-16. But then you got that Tampa Bay loss, which they got blown out. Granted, we did too get blown out by Tampa Bay. That was kind of an ugly game. But the Eagles are a much different team than they were during that Tampa Bay game. So I don't know right now which team is which. I will say this about the Giants. What I've seen is that their defense is a lot more impressive than I gave them credit for early on.
Mm-hmm.
And even going into the Bucs game, they hung around defensively in that Bucs game because it was like 17-10 at half. They got a pick right down near the goal line that led to some points for them. So it wasn't a cushy game for the Buccaneers until the second half. And really what that broke down the Giants in the second half was just bad quarterback play. There's no other way to put it. They didn't score a single point in the second half. And the Bucs ended up winning that game, easily in the second half. So I don't know. It's one of these things where what Giant team are we going to get? Are we going to get a team that's fired up, or are we going to get one that is continually to struggle? And now with only 3 wins on the season, sitting at 3-7, are they done? Are they kind of ready for it to hit the golf course? I don't know. But what I do know is it's time for Tubby's Keys to Victory. And we're going to let you explain how you think this game is going to go on Sunday.
Yeah, man, you made a lot of good points, man. Just one thing. With Jones, I just don't think that he's developed any, since they've gotten him, and we'll get right into it. But I just don't think he's developed much. But he also hasn't had Saquon all year. And what did I say a couple pods back? Without a running back, it's really hard to ask a young quarterback to do it all. And what you see here is another situation where you have a young quarterback without their running back, and they look really, really, really bad. Saquon was back last week. So we just have to make sure we handle business on our end. And that is to keep running the ball. We're second in the league in running ball. We already seen those stats. I don't think Howard going out changes anything. Sanders, he made that Zeke keep feeding me, keep running the ball. He came back very excited last week. Hopefully those fumble jitters are out of the way. But I can see Sanders having a hell of a game, outperforming Saquon here. It's a little harsh on Saquon because the second game back from a serious injury. But so what? You can have a good game, man, coming back and just keep running the ball. We want to keep Jalen passing attempts around 20 and below. That's been the key to success for us. And is Saquon really even healthy? You mentioned he had 6 carries last week.
Mm-hmm.
When you see a lot of backs come off of injuries, they'll still give him 15, 15 carries or so. I don't make this comparison, but Jeff Wilson, for instance, comes back. He still gets 10 carries. You know, anytime you see a back come back, I know they were losing, but Saquon is a volume running back. He always kind of has been. So for them not defeating, I mean, they're kind of nursing him back. So is he really healthy? Because if he's not, and we have to just kind of hone in on Freeman, I think I like our chances, man, against our front four, our front five, six, if you will, because we don't run really three linebackers like that. But Edwards has been playing really well. So I like our chances if Saquon is still kind of easing back. And that was a pretty gruesome injury, man. Yeah, man. And then the next, man, just on the defensive end, just keep blitzing. I mean, it works. You know, we did it against Goff. We put a lot of pressure on Goff. I'll just start there because it seemed like that was the start of our success. Came in that Detroit game where we finally seen some sort of level of dominance from our defense. Kind of gave us that Philly feel back where, you know, we can have a bad offense, but we at least have a good defense most of the time. At least players you can recognize and are all pro or at least Pro Bowl caliber players. And it seemed like we didn't have that for a while. So that game we were very aggressive against Detroit. I'll mention this again. Detroit has played everybody tough except us. So the game that we played Detroit really tough. We started to blitz, and I think it worked. We kind of went away from it on the next game when we lost against the Chargers. We didn't really do it that much because Herbert is a bigger threat than Goff throwing the ball. So I understand that adjustment. And keep blitzing. It works. This is what has helped us, you know. And the Garrett fire. Mm. You know, Garrett fire, as soon as I seen it, man, I said, man, this could really spark the Giants because when you have a coach like Garrett, how long did he coach the Cowboys? He coached the Cowboys for
way too long. According to Cowboys fans, he's coached them way too long. That's somebody that was Jerry Jones's yes man and really didn't do much. I mean, he just stuck around and there a lot of, even the players aren't too fond of Jason Garrett. So yeah, he wore out his welcome in New York for sure.
Right. So when you have a coach that has been the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys and the hype train that's down there for so long, you bring that personality into your locker room with a young coach like in Judge. Sometimes you could look at Garrett as the, you know, scapegoat because that's easy to get rid of him. And, or maybe he was starting to have too much influence on the team because he, I emphasize this strongly. He was a head coach for the Dallas Cowboys. I think about at least 8 years or so. I just don't want to see a fired up, rebellious New York Giants offense to spite Garrett because players can do that, man. These are all still professional athletes, man. These guys were the best guys in your high school, in your college. These guys that are playing, that are suiting up on Sunday are the best guys of the best guys. I just don't want them to have this incredible game. We got Galloway and Tony back for two games. You got Shepard coming back in this Saquon's second game. So, man, I just don't want them to see them fired up, feel like they have all their engines running. You know, Ingram, he hasn't had a spectacular year, but he's still there. And you have Tony, like you said, you have Galladay back, you know, for the second game in a row. So, and, you know, I expect Saquon touches to be way higher this week, way higher, unless they're just losing really bad. So, yeah, man, just overall, I think we keep the emphasis on Daniel Jones. He struggled a lot. He threw it. He threw probably the easiest pick I've seen ever.
To a defensive lineman.
He looked so rattled.
Yeah, it was bad.
So either he'll take off and run 22 miles an hour for a run.
Yeah.
He has, you know, is that sneaky speed, kind of like Luck had. Luck had like sneaky speed. So, well, yeah, man, I think we had the Giants kind of right where we want them. If we're going to catch a team.
Right.
You know, now maybe, you know, good time to catch the Giants. So I like our chances against the Giants, man. I think if we continue to run the ball, minimize Saquon, keep the pressure on, no prevent defense, and, you know, just try to shut them down early to really take their confidence out if they're feeling better with a new play caller this week.
Right. Yeah, man. Yeah, all good points. And what I like is that we usually revisit these after the game to see if they were really a factor, and most of the times you're spot on. Everything that you mentioned. The big one here for me is the blitzing, because what we saw, again, when we started doing it, when the Eagles started doing it against Detroit, it changed the entire scope, the way the defense operates. And then we kind of let off the gas a little bit against the Chargers, and I think it cost them the game. But then they followed it up with Denver, and they went right back to the blitz. And then we saw it, like, more than we ever saw against the Saints this past week, where they were coming from all directions, and you didn't know what player was going to be blitzing, and that was key because they were bringing Avante Maddox on a slot corner blitz, and then you had Singleton coming up the middle on the A-gap and just disrupting everything that Simeon did. And I don't think that we've got a rattled quarterback back there in Daniel Jones. I don't think the thing that you can do right now is just rush four guys, drop our DBs 10 yards off the ball, and let this guy have time and space to throw. You've got to get in his face and make it, because if he's interception prone, the way you do that is by pressuring him and making him make decisions on the fly. We saw it with Simeon with the Slay interception return for a touchdown. Slay was about 5 to 8 yards off the ball, but because that pressure got to Simeon's face, right into his face, he threw that up to where he thought that his receiver was going to be, and Slay just jumped the route and took it for a pick six. And that's the kind of thing I think we need to see in the Giants game. And then, yeah, the Garrett thing, it kind of worries me from the standpoint of, is somebody, a new player, because I like it when there's a bad play caller in the house, because then we know that what we're going to get. Now the Eagles coaching staff is going to have to prepare for an unknown, because with Garrett, you knew what his game plan was going to be. The only benefit is whoever's going to be calling the plays this week, whether it's Judge or whoever, is it going to be too early for them to really get into a rhythm with the new offense? Or will they just be calling the same plays that they've been running under Garrett, just somebody else calling the plays? So we don't really know what we're going to get. So I think that will make a big difference going into the game. But we'll have to see how it all turns out. Speaking of Jason Garrett, this leads us right into, again, one of my favorite segments that we've been doing lately. It's anytime that there's something out there that just makes you shake your head and go,
hell to the no, 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 no. Hell no, no, to the no, no. Hell to the no, no. To the no, 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 no.
Hell to the no, no. I love that, man. And so this week's Hell to the Gnaw is
really
just
getting into it.
I was. I love it. I need to get that on my phone so I can listen to it in the car.
Your ringtone.
Yeah, that's it. But, you know, this week, Hell to the Gnaw is great. We had a really good one on Monday. This one, though, cracks me up. I saw this on Dez Bryant's Twitter feed. After the Jason Garrett firing, he posted, after hearing the news about Jason Garrett, Kadarius Toney, you will get to experience the love and joy for football throughout your career, is what he's telling the young wide receiver. That's some harsh words. You know, again, we know Bryant from his days in Dallas. He's a salty guy. He still, you know, thinks he made that catch, which I don't believe. He didn't catch that ball.
No comment.
That's one of my favorite things to do to Cowboys fans is if they get riled up or they start talking smack about the Eagles, the first thing you say to shut them up is go, you know, Dez didn't catch that ball.
Yeah, it's an easy trigger for
them. And then they just go off. Then it's just they will go for 15 minutes straight about the catch rules in the NFL. It's great. It's a great thing to do. So if you know a Cowboys fan, do that over the Thanksgiving holiday. You'll be entertained for an entire weekend. But, yeah, this is a great tweet because Garrett, we watched him in Dallas. I was always thankful he was there as their coach, because he was a very predictable offensive coach. You knew what you were going to get. It was, and so I'm sure Bryant felt the same way. So now, you know, saying that Kadarius Toney is going to get love and joy of football throughout his career, he might be speaking a little too soon, because we don't know who his next coach is going to be, you know, as far as who the offensive coordinator is going to be. But, you know, for now, it's pretty funny for him to come after that. Mm-hmm. All right, so that brings us to our next segment, which I don't know what is going to happen with the Eagles right now on the injury side of the ball. It looks okay, but it could go either way, because we got a lot of key players injured this week. We got Davion Taylor, a linebacker, is definitely going to be out, expected not to return now until week 16, which really sucks because he was just starting to play really well. Jordan Howard, he's doubtful for week 12, not been ruled out, but it looks like he probably won't play until after the bye week. So we're going to be out without Howard for about a couple weeks. Slay is in the concussion protocol after the Saints game, but all signs point to him playing, hopefully. Brandon Brooks, on the other hand, not been reactivated yet, but he's in the window to be reactivated and be playing guard for us on Sunday. I hope that's the case. And then we know Sean Bradley, our other linebacker, got hurt his shoulder against the Saints. He's questionable, but again, that's another one that looks like he might play. We're definitely going to be without Taylor and Howard. the other three may play. On the Giants' side of the ball, it's a little bit cloudy. They've got a lot of key players that are out. Kyle Rudolph is questionable with an ankle injury. One of their backup running backs, so it's not that big a deal. One of their backup or their corners, Nate Ebner, he's questionable. Sterling Shepard is questionable with the quadriceps. And Lorenzo Carter, their outside linebacker, questionable. And a backup tight end, Caden Smith, questionable. So they're hurting a little bit. And then it came out today that Sterling Shepard, again, did not practice again today. And today, Kadarius Toney missed practice, which is big.
Ooh.
So, I mean, they're coming off of a game on Monday night. So, it could be that just the fact they're giving them an extra day of rest.
Tuesday, huh?
Right.
Or Wednesday. Okay,
yeah.
Wednesday.
Yeah, so Wednesday. Yeah. So they probably gave him an extra day of rest. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then Nate Ebner didn't practice. Caden Smith didn't practice. Kyle Rudolph didn't practice. And Saquon Barkley practiced, but he was limited and considered not really that he really did not practice because he was limited in practice. So Adoree Jackson, who is a huge corner, had that pick against the Bucks. He was a limited participant in practice. So they're banged up coming into this game. So we don't know how that's going to work out for them. We just have to wait and see. Injuries this time of year is one of those things you can't predict and you can't do anything about. Right. You have to next man up, and that's the way it goes. And you can't cry about it when you lose because of that. So that's our preview of the upcoming Giants-Eagles game on Sunday. We will definitely be glued to the set, hoping for another victory. Eagles win this game, they get to 6-6, and they get to 500 for the first time since week two, when they lost their second game to the Niners. So after winning the opener against Atlanta. So 500 would be really nice about now. And then the week after that, they stay in New York to play the other New York team, the Jets, which are really hurting right now. The Jets actually play the Texans this week and might end up getting a win. They're only two point underdogs, I think, to the Texans. So, and I think that's in Houston. So, yeah, it has to be because we're at New York, so they can't play at the same time. So, and then after that, we got our bye week, which is going to be a nice long rest. I mean, I'm not used to the Eagles getting a bye in week 14. That's a pretty long way to go. But, hey, right now, the way things are working out, we win the next two in New York. That's a really good time for a bye, as it turns out. Because if we go in there 7-6 on that bye, then we come out for those last four games against division opponents, and we're ready to go. Because then we come back and play Washington, who is sitting at 4-6 right now, at home after our bye. Two games in New York, bye week. So these Eagles aren't leaving the New Jersey area for the next 4 or 5 weeks, which is great for them. It'll make a big, man, big difference. So we'll just have to see how it works. We'll find out on Sunday. All right, now something that I really don't want to talk about, but we're going to talk about it anyway, and that's our fantasy league. This week, we don't have to show each other's scores because we played against each other, and it didn't go very well for me. I just didn't have time to really look at it, and I thought my brain told me I had edited my lineup, but I didn't. And I ended up leaving so many points on the board. If you look at, I lost to you 102 to 115. And I should have started Jalen Hurts, and I started Derek Carr, who only got me 60 points. Hurts would have got me 34 points. I'm shaking my head over that one. I started D'Ernest Johnson when Nick Chubb was healthy. So Nick Chubb had 22 points, and D'Ernest Johnson got me 2.6. So yeah, that alone right there cost me.
That alone, man, that was huge. D'Ernest Johnson may have just been the difference, really. Just that, yeah. You know, the rest, you know. You know, when it comes to fantasy football,
that's a 20-point swing right there. So I cost myself a win. So congrats to you. You win the head-to-head. So it is what it is. I'm sitting there. If you look at the standings at 4-7, you're in fifth, you know, pretty solid right now. Fifth, you got to move up a little bit more because top six make the playoffs.
Yeah, man. And top three have already clinched. Wow. So 8 wins is the benchmark right now. You get the 8 wins, you're in. Obviously, as the weeks go on, it can change. But
right.
You know, top three, man, have already clinched the playoffs, so it's still super tight, man.
I got to win out.
Yeah.
It's super. I think I'm done.
I'm starting to see a lot of sevens and eights and nines, and that's good for me sitting there at five because, you know, it's going to get Chris some good teams in the playoffs, man. There's some really good teams, man. A. Will has a really solid squad, and my brother, who should be here tonight, as a, you know, obviously, look at the points he's put up versus everybody else. So, really crazy squad, and you know, White Rhinos and my boy Outkast is out here with me too. Outkast is, you know, he's been slippery, man. He's been slippery.
Well, he hasn't put up a lot of points. No, there's not a lot of points. 1,400 points compared to the next. Will's put up 16. You at 15. I've actually put up two more points than Outkast.
Exactly. And and he's already clinched the playoffs. That was the one game that Andrew scored 43 points for him on that Monday night game, and he came back and beat me by like 10. I was up 30. Bro, imagine being up 35 and somebody has their tight end. Yeah. And their tight end puts up 40 something. I mean, God.
You know, that's like, you hate those guys in fantasy because they squeak out a win, or they play an opponent that's down every week. So they squeak out a win each and every week, and then they end up clinching. And then those are the ones you got to watch out for in the playoffs, too.
To your point, Outkast has been in the championship last 3 years.
That's crazy.
And he's never been number one seed, never high point scorer. Will just always kind of like pick up like a couple bolts and screws off the waiver wire. And that'll be the week they'll have it, man. You know, fantasy football is definitely better to be lucky than good.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that those lucky players, they drive me crazy because everybody knows one. Everybody knows the guy who can walk up to a slot machine, throw $20 in it, walk away with $500. But yet me, I'm going to, you know, feed $500 to the thing and maybe walk away with a 10 spot after I'm all done. And that's just the way it is. People are lucky sometimes. So we have to make up for it with skill. I'll tell you who else isn't very lucky is myself in this picks game that I'm running right now. I am like Tom Petty, and I am free falling through the standings right now. I was leading all year long. I can't remember when I've had a good week. I think I've gotten only 5 pro games wrong for the last 3 weeks. So I was 5-10 in pro picks this week, 2-1 in college. And I went minus 50 in points, which dropped me down to 70 points overall. So Dustin Schmidt has been catching me all season. He's solidly in first place now. And I think he just went plus 10. I've been hurting myself with horrible picks. So when I give the picks coming up in this next part of the segment, I'm going to advise everyone to just not listen, because, or do the opposite of what I do. If you want to win any money, this is just a public service announcement from me to you. Do not pick my picks. You'll be sorry. One of these days I'm going to get back on track, but we'll see. I don't know if it'll be this week or not. So let's take a look at my picks for week 12 against the spread, and then we'll get our picks right here for the Philadelphia Giant game as well. So the three Thanksgiving Day games, we've got Chicago giving 3 points at Detroit on Thanksgiving. Here's my deal with that, is that Detroit at home on Thanksgiving is always just a mystery. You don't know what you're going to get. They love playing at home on Thanksgiving. That's their deal. They haven't won a game yet this year. They've got a tie. I think this might be the day that Detroit gets a victory. So I'm going to take the under on that. Take the 3 points. And you heard it here first. Detroit gets their first win of the season on Thanksgiving, the first game of the day. After that, we got Dallas giving 8 to Las Vegas. I went back and forth on this. I'm going to go with Dallas giving 8. 8 is a lot of points. But this is a team that is got a ton of talent. They're back at home. It's Thanksgiving Day. They love playing at home on Thanksgiving as well. And they got some revenge, or just some angst to get out after that loss to the Chiefs. So I'm going to go and give the 8. I think they beat the Raiders by at least 10. I think it's one of those boring games that we have in the afternoon where everybody's full of turkey and they just start falling asleep in the second half because Dallas is up 28-3. The next one after that is the night game on Thanksgiving night. We've got New Orleans at home getting 6.5 from Buffalo. Normally, I would have taken Buffalo in a heartbeat in this game because of seeing New Orleans firsthand and knowing what their defense and offense is. But I don't even know what Buffalo team even exists anymore these last few weeks, getting killed by Indianapolis, getting beat by Jacksonville. I can't give 6.5 points on the road to Buffalo. Can't do it. So I'm going to go ahead and take New Orleans. Now, here's our game. The Eagles are 3.5 point favorites on the road at New York. You see on my screen, I have locked in the Eagles as the favorite. And there's good reason for that. I think the spread, in my opinion, is too low for the way they've recently been playing. Now, I know that they're at New York, but I could be wrong. I mean, anybody can win on any given Sunday, but I really think it, my gut tells me that this is going to be like a 24-10, very similar to the Bucs game, 24-10, 27-10 type of game that the Eagles come away with. So what do you think as far as your prediction with this 3.5-point spread?
So I have the Eagles winning 30-13.
Yeah.
If that answers your question. Yeah, man. That's a tough spread. I think it favors the Eagles the way they're playing right now. I think that favors the Eagles. I think that's a good pick. I am biased. I will, a little disclaimer, I am biased. Man, just the way that, if you take it, just how the current form, you know, they got in form and out of form, right? Eagles are in form is what you call it. Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Speaking of inform, you got your Liverpool playing right now. I'm
saying, I know.
So I appreciate your sacrifice.
I'm a Liverpool fan.
I was Chelsea won 4-0 yesterday, and I was just having the best of days, man.
I know you were. I thought a lot of you when I saw that. In fact,
man, Liverpool, I was in the Liverpool room when Reece James scored that second goal after Chalaba. Oh man, I was just
this just turned into a Premier League or to a football podcast.
Hey man, I could talk Prem all day.
English
anyway,
football.
I digress. So yeah, man, I like your pick here.
I think we're on the same boat.
We don't know what Giants team we're getting.
We don't. It could go completely pear shaped. It definitely could not go our way on Sunday, but I think this is a game that the Eagles have to go in believing they can win. I have to believe they can win and win big. So I'm going to go with the Eagles. Rest of the picks real quick. I got Cincinnati giving 4.5 to Pittsburgh in Cincinnati. I've got Tampa Bay giving 3 on the road to Indianapolis, and I'm making that my lock of the week just because Brady and company going in against the Colts right now. I'm going to take Tampa Bay most every day on that one. Carolina is giving 1.5 to Miami. Going to take Carolina. That's a tough one to pick. New England at home giving 6.5 to Tennessee. I just can't trust Tennessee anymore, and New England at home, the way Belichick is coaching lately, to see this team become the number one team in the AFC again, and they've got Mac Jones leading the way, it's insane. So I got to take New England given that less than a touchdown advantage. So Atlanta giving 1 at Jacksonville. I'm going to take the Jaguars at home just because I don't trust Atlanta. We got Houston, like I said earlier, at home giving 2.5 to the Jets, going to take Houston. And then I got a bunch of dogs I'm taking. I'm going to take Denver at home, getting 2.5 from the Chargers. I got the Rams getting 1 on the road at Green Bay. And then I've got Minnesota getting 3 from San Francisco. And Minnesota's at San Francisco. I'm going to take Minnesota. After that, we got Baltimore giving 4 to Cleveland. I am going to take Baltimore on that one. And then we've got Washington football team giving 1 to Seattle. I'm going to take the Seahawks. Again, could go either way. I'm going to take Russell Wilson getting it back on track. And Washington's flirting with their victories lately with their win over the Bucks, kind of comes crashing down. College, we got the big games this week, all the in-state rivalries. So we've got Ohio State, Michigan on there. I'm a big Michigan fan. Hopefully they can pull it out this weekend. We will see and finally beat Ohio State after years and years of losing. I can't remember the last time Michigan beat them. If whoever wins this game goes to the Big Ten title game, more than likely goes into college football playoff. So a lot of stake there. Ohio State is given 8.5 to Michigan. I got to think Michigan at home has got to at least keep that close. After that, we got Alabama-Auburn. Alabama's giving 19.5 at Auburn. The Iron Bowl is a huge rivalry, so I got to take those points. And then Oklahoma State is giving 4 to Oklahoma in Oklahoma State. So I'm going to take Oklahoma in that. So I'm taking all underdogs for my college this week. We will see how it goes. So those are our picks for Week 12. Against the spread. Again, as I said earlier, if you want to win some money, write all of those down and then flip them and do exactly the opposite. We'll see how it comes out next week, but it hasn't been good these last few, so we'll see how things go. So that brings us to the end of episode 16, which I'd call I'd Be Thankful for Another Dub. That's what I called this episode, because I will be on Thanksgiving for Thanksgiving weekend. I will be thankful if they get another dub. So I know we both got some good Thanksgiving plans going on.
Yeah, man. Got the family rolling in. Got two of my brothers coming in town and their family. So, man, get to see a lot of family. Got eight people over in the house. They're not even leaving. They're staying for like 4 days. So it should be dope, man. A lot of kids in the house. It should be pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to it, though.
I see a Griswold family Christmas in your future, man. I see you running around trying to take care of all these people, man. And kids. There's squirrels going to get in the house. Yeah, somebody's going to blow up a cat.
Yeah, man, it should be crazy. That's why I knocked out all my cooking today, man. Nice. You know, Chef Bird and the wife, you know, we got my turkey brining, mac and cheese ready to go, candy yams ready to go. Wife working on the greens and
I'll be right there. I'll be right there.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Gotta have my stove top right out the box too. That's how I do it.
That sounds awesome. Sauce.
So I'm really looking forward to it. Really thankful to have my family in town for
That's
sure.
great. Yeah, that's what it's all about. And so this is gonna be a nice 4 days. I've got two of my kids here with me. So we're gonna have a dinner tomorrow, a couple other people coming over to the house and just enjoy it. And we're gonna see Ghostbusters tonight, so that'd get the whole weekend started off. But then tomorrow it's all about football and food. And then Sunday, it's all about the Eagles, baby. Let's get another win. So, as I always say, I am Lee, and with me as always is Tubby for our, or his, final words of the day.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
And go, Birds! Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll see you next week.